Okay, and welcome to the first episode of Rough Idol. This is John.
Why is it called Rough Idol?
Because that describes our friendship and how we don't get along.
And things do not run smoothly.
Things don't run smoothly at all. We were just arguing not 5 seconds before this began on how we were going to do this. I'm also joined by...
Matthew.
And...
I'm Scott.
And we are three fine young chaps, and... want to tell you a little bit about ourselves before we go down this road of stuff that people will never listen to. So a little bit about me, starting off. Okay, this is John. Just remember that. I am a baseball player. I grew up as a baseball player.
Are you still a baseball player?
I'm a softball player currently. I played Division I college baseball for a major university in the state that borders eight other states in the southeast. I play softball now, play men's ice hockey, I play men's basketball, and I play men's flag football. So you can see I have a really good time of not really living in the past.
You really sound like an elite athlete.
Well, I was
very low recreational sporting is happening.
I was the MVP of the local men's softball league. I hit about 850 with about 10 bombs.
Johnny and I are also champions of a slow pitch softball league.
True.
As well, and Matthew, I have a T-shirt to prove it.
And Matthew is a baseball national champion.
I'm just a born champion.
Yeah. In the same way that the janitor.
And he's a champion of life and yep. the truest form of the Butch Jones meeting.
I'm a champion.
If he's a champion, then the janitor is the champion for the Toronto Raptors. But
he gets a ring.
Well. It's a participation ring.
It's not a participation.
It's a.
Ring.
You should only get a ring if you win. If you actually are instrumental.
They would not have won that championship if he hadn't have kept those floors nice and clean and had they had good traction.
Yeah, right. I did the scoreboard for every single game that year.
Yeah, he threw some extra runs on.
Yeah,
that
was a scoreboard.
Nobody ever brings that. No, but that'll never come up in the annals of history. But let me tell you that they would not have won that national title if Matthew hadn't fudged the score every now.
Well,
and
now you're
the pitching coach would have had no idea what pitches to throw had my counts not been correct consistently on the scoreboard.
Well, now you're just being unethical.
I never added. Scott is the one that claimed that I added points. I never.
Well, then you just agreed to it.
No, and also just called them points in their runs. So don't.
Yeah, don't ever talk
about my credibility. Is
this going to start an NAIA investigation?
A massive cheating scandal. Please just don't ever talk about baseball ever again. How about that?
Deal. Listen, talk about my national championship.
You are currently a high school baseball coach.
I am.
And.
We also won some championships since I've been a high school baseball coach.
And you know literally nothing about the game of baseball.
That is not true.
You know nothing.
Not true.
You have the worst hands I've ever seen.
That has nothing to do with my knowledge of baseball.
But you've got bad hands.
That, once again, has nothing to do with my
and
knowledge
And you can't
of
throw
baseball.
BP.
I don't need to.
His wife thinks he has good hands.
More like good fingers. They're a little short and stubby, but they get the job done. I'm a washed up athlete that thinks he can still make it, but I can't. I like video games, random things, history books.
You sound like
very interesting person.
Super interesting. Yeah.
Like, what else?
Like if
you stop now,
so,
we won't blame you.
So if you want useless trivia, I'm your guy. If you want useless World War II things, I'm your guy. If you want to know how an F-35 Lightning works, I'm your guy. If you want to know how the posit track on the rear end of a Plymouth works, I'm your guy.
If you need,
don't expect me to actually fix any of those things.
If you need a fleet of cars managed, he's your guy.
Yes. If you need
literally all of those things except for the car fleet managing can also be learned from Wikipedia, and they don't have to listen to your voice.
Yeah. Well. I mean, Wikipedia. Don't get me wrong. We've all gone down the rabbit holes of Wikipedia before, I think. I'm just, I like the outdoors, I like dirt bikes, motorcycles. We are going to talk a lot about cars and motorcycles and motorsport in general and, I guess sports and maybe some current events, maybe the occasional politics if things don't get too heated because they're always wrong and I'm always right. History. What else are we going to talk about?
Current topics? Current events?
I already said current events.
Oh. Well, I think that's pretty much all of them.
I guess we'll talk about a little bit about everything, because we're not...
At the end of the day, we're just talking about what we think is interesting.
Yeah, what we think is interesting. What you think is interesting. So if you don't like that, you can kiss my ass and go find somebody else's podcast. But this is America, and therefore it's in the Constitution that we can make podcasts. Yeah, so that's me. So it's Matt. Tell me about yourself.
Yeah, I also have some pretty deep roots in baseball. I grew up playing baseball, played it in high school. Was part of a team that never won anything in high school, but I did get to play against Scott and Johnny. I hit a home run off of Johnny one time.
No, you didn't ever hit a home run off.
Sorry, I got a base hit off of you.
Wow, you're the only one.
he tried to upsell that one. What he had was...
Yeah, like, I guess maybe a home run was a stretch.
He had an infield single.
I guess what I meant to say was I single-handedly beat his team in a baseball game by hitting two home runs. They weren't necessarily off of Johnny, but they were off of his team.
And they were the only two hits you had all year.
Well, that's all that matters. I won that game.
You won a meaningless, like...
Anyways, I also played baseball in college where I was, in fact, despite how much I may or may not have participated in the team, a national champion. I have a ring that says that I am a national champion. Johnny does not.
Of life.
And neither does Scott.
No, that's true.
While I was there, I thought that I was going to be a phenomenal engineer and get this great education, and... apparently, I'm really bad at math and science and chose history major instead. And now I work in the education field as a history teacher. I'm the only one of the group that is married, and I'm also the only one of the group that has a child. So my experiences will be a little bit different because of that, and maybe my opinions will be too. I feel like we maybe all balance each other out well because of that. And yeah, I'm just I'm living life. My interests are also cars and... Well, not really. I'm not really interested in sports. I coach sports, but I find them horrifyingly boring to watch most of the time, especially baseball. And there's no, I mean.
It's because you suck at them.
No.
No. No.
Baseball is.
It's a dying sport.
Baseball is not. NBA is a dying sport.
That's not true.
It is true. Their ratings were like an all-time low this year.
Yeah, after growing for like six straight years.
And then their ratings went back in the toilet.
Not in the toilet. They were just decreased from the year before. Their revenue still increased, though.
Well,
either way, neither one of them are exactly extremely popular sports to watch on TV.
Baseball's God's game. Okay. God's watching baseball right now.
Okay.
None of us are God.
Yeah.
Well, don't we
it's
all...
It's not my game. It might be God's game, but it's not my game.
Don't we all strive to be more godlike, though, in our daily lives?
I've rarely seen you...
Yeah, you've never strived to be godlike. No. No. No.
You know, when women post on Tinder that they want a God-fearing man, that's not you.
Well, I watch baseball, so therefore it is.
Either way, baseball, I like cars, I just like general, like politics, keeping up to date on current events.
That's a weird statement anyway, God-fearing. Why? That's just like a weird way to say it. Shouldn't it be like God-respecting or God-following or like God, why should we be afraid?
Because he's
all-powerful?
He's all-powerful.
But that doesn't...
Well, as we know, God can be a very vengeful and spiteful.
That's some people's interpretation of God. Yeah,
that's a lot of people's interpretation.
No, I don't think it would be a lot of people's interpretation of God.
Well, it depends.
It's not my interpretation.
It depends on when you were alive. And if you were alive in the 1850s, you would think
that.
Well,
this isn't the 1850s.
So?
So we're talking about people now.
So?
Not people from the 1850s.
There's a lot of people that think God is still vengeful.
Who are these people?
Maybe
name the region. Name the region that the God-fearing people live in right now.
The region that they live in?
Yeah. Southeast.
Why are we defining them by region?
Well, he said there's a lot of people, so there has to be a concentration of them somewhere.
I would say Pentecostals and Southern Baptists are pretty pretty afraid of God.
Okay, that's fair.
Anyway, I'm Scott. I'm a doctor, particularly interested in genetics. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm also into cars and bikes, more so bikes than Matthew. Car-wise, I'm really into sort of 90s Japanese cars and things of that nature. But have a lot of other interests too. Like to read, like to write, like to debate and argue. It's a favorite pastime of mine.
He likes to split hairs and
I'm a professional hair splitter.
He'll die on. Yeah. He'll live and die on technicalities.
The technicalities are important. They establish the rules of the world that we live in.
I would say the gray area establishes the rule.
I don't think the gray area establishes the rules. I think the gray area is what fills in the space between the rules.
Why does there have to be a space in between the rules?
Nobody said there had to be a space in between
the rules. Oh, God. Well, that's where Scott deals in absolutes in the way that like a good painter deals in watercolors or oils or something. There is no in between.
Some context of how this gets brought up is our conversation during lunch consisted of about a 20-minute conversation over the different meanings of shouldn't and don't.
Yes.
that was a large portion of our conversation.
I think it was longer than 20 minutes.
And I think we all came out appreciating the difference between saying you shouldn't do that and don't do that.
No, we did not come out of that conversation.
I think all three of us agree that we have a good understanding now of the difference between shouldn't and don't.
No, we don't.
Me and Matt had a good agreement.
Yeah.
That we were in disagreement with you.
Well, that's at least I created an agreement.
Is an agreement better than disagreement? What if we're agreeing that we should kill puppies? Is that a good agreement?
You shouldn't kill puppies.
You don't kill puppies.
You shouldn't do it.
Shouldn't or don't.
You shouldn't kill puppies. They're both the same thing.
Shouldn't or don't.
Just don't.
Don't feed him. You shouldn't do it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's just, a little bit about us and how irrelevant and dumb this podcast would be. And hopefully, if you're still tuned in 12 minutes later, then go ahead and donate to our Patreon that we've definitely set up because, we want you to give us money because I want to quit my job and be a millionaire podcaster.
The first ever
self-made millionaire podcaster.
He's very prolific.
Technically, this is our second podcast.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and tell them what happened with the first one?
Matthew messed up
that did not happen.
Matt messed up the microphone last night. We recorded for an hour, and it didn't. No,
Johnny was very quick to blame me for messing up the microphone. And then it turns out it was 100% and solely his fault.
You didn't double check the microphone.
Because he doesn't know which way to plug a cord into the phone and the microphone.
It's a cord. How many different ways can you plug in a cord?
Well, apparently there's two and only one of them is right.
Well, you didn't double check me, so it's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
It's my fault. You can't say it would be somebody else's fault that you forgot to fill your car up with gas.
Explain to me how that's the same thing.
Would you?
That's no. Just move on. Oh. Move on. Try again later.
Technical malfunction. Okay, we're good. So that's just a little bit about us. What's the first topic of debate today?
Well, why don't we tell them a little bit about like
what else do you want
about
to talk
our relationship about like Rough Idol, what it means?
Yeah, like what is Rough Idol? What is this podcast?
What's our mission statement?
We've already talked a little about what we'll talk about, but what is When somebody finds Rough Idol on the iTunes podcast network and they say, "What is Rough Idol?" What's your answer to that, Johnny?
It's a means for me to make
What's an answer that means something to them? They don't care how much money you're going to make.
Maybe we should look up what a top grossing podcaster makes before
because
we...
Because I can guarantee you won't make a penny off
what
of this.
What do you think
podcast.
The highest grossing podcaster makes? Maybe we should look that up before we try too hard at this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a good amount of money
I think the issue is that some podcasters do make money, like good money off the podcast, but those are people that make good money off the podcast because they're already famous and so that they can attract the ads for their podcast, right?
Well,
so when like Dax Shepard has his podcast and he's already a famous actor, like companies pay him a lot of money to have ads on his podcast. But so far as I know, and I'm the manager of this group, no one has called asking for ad placement on Rough Idol.
You don't know that.
Well, I mean, we have a national champion, a D1 athlete, and a doctor. Why would you not want to support us?
We're basically famous if you put us all three together.
If you make that into one person,
well, then why
we're a super team.
We need to be canvassing the local businesses asking for support.
Even though we technically haven't published a single thing.
And when they say, on average per episode, how many listens do you get? What's our answer?
I will say it's not about how many views we currently have. It's how many views we think we will get.
Yeah.
How many do you think we will get?
billions. This will be the next great cultural icon of American.
It's like Simpsons.
It's like Walt Disney meets the Simpsons, meets the Game of Thrones, meets Harry Potter. Like, this is the next big thing.
Yeah, people will be lining outside of Barnes & Noble to stream
our podcast. And we're going to go on a nationwide tour of podcasting.
This is the next Serial. This is Serial.
This is Serial.
Serial's lame. Do people even listen to Serial?
Yeah, it's the highest grossing. Johnny, it's the highest grossing podcast of all time.
It's the most
grossing. Okay, the most listened to podcast
it's
of all time.
It's drivel.
It's not. You've never listened
it's to it. I have listened. I listened to that whole thing about that dude who may have not killed that person and a girl or whatever.
You know how many episodes did you listen to?
I listened to like all of them at the time because my ex-girlfriend made me listen to them.
Yeah.
It was extremely interesting.
It's excellent. Excellently done. And now there's a...
It didn't go anywhere.
It created...
Because there's no answer.
Then why make something if there's no answer?
For the process. Why...
What are we going to answer with this podcast?
Why play a game if, you know... If there...
Would you play a game if there was no winner or loser?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
And what?
You don't ever start games that you don't finish?
But I play with the anticipation that I will win.
What's the... You buy a car... And you drive it around, but you don't have. You can go on a road trip without having a destination. You complete the trip. You start in one place, you finish.
But there's
in the same
still a
place.
Completion.
Yeah, the same place. Where
there's
you
no
started.
Completion in Serial.
Yeah,
it's just
the same
like
place where she started.
She just talks. Yeah. She talks and talks and talks. Like, okay, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? And she's like, oh yeah, he's still sitting in jail, and nothing's happened yet. We don't know. You know.
No, she finishes in the same place that she started. The same thing is like when you get back home in your garage at the end of the day after a good motorcycle ride.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever. I don't want a good journey. I want like.
I would also like to ask you, what question do you plan on answering with this podcast?
The question of whether or not three slightly childish grown men can like make anything out of this podcast and achieve. If we get 100 listens from people that aren't directly related to us or girlfriends or something, I feel like, you know, we've done something. And if each one of those 100 people gave us $1,000 each, that's $100,000.
I think that when you get married, we should play this podcast at the wedding, for your first dance.
That might not be much of a marriage.
And then we'll get listens.
But that doesn't count if we play it all in like.
It would be about the same high quality as your speech that you gave at my wedding.
My speech at your wedding was great.
I remember when you forgot the ring.
That wasn't my. No one ever gave me the ring.
You're the best man.
I didn't know.
It's your job.
Well, you should have told me.
If it's any consolation...
I remember when you had to borrow the ring.
If it's any consolation, that's probably true. I should have not expected you to know how anything at a wedding works.
Well,
it also created a very fun, lasting, like, funny memory at our wedding. So I'm okay with it.
Everyone forgot, in my defense.
Yeah, I mean, all the bridesmaids forgot as, like, my wife's ring as well, so
yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah,
it was a two-sided effort. It wasn't like just you forgot the ring.
Yeah. So, well, anyways, that's my point. Don't listen to Serial. Listen to us. We're way more interesting, and we actually will tell you stuff that
you know. Forgetting the ring though came on the coattails of leaving the bachelor party.
Well, we don't need.
Yeah,
to
so that's a fun story to talk
no,
about.
When we get don't to, like, need to open that.
What Rough Idol means with us as a whole.
Yeah. It's,
so
I
we
think
we've
kind of
talked. Yeah.
Perfect.
So we've kind of talked about ourselves as individuals. Now it's time to talk about
Matthew's bachelor party was Rough Idol.
Yes. So we have this great idea. Johnny's my best man. He's going to throw me this great bachelor party, and it's going to be, you know, the night of our lives. And so we go downtown, and we race some electric go-karts together. And, you know, probably the bad part was that he won the race.
I dominated.
And
absolutely
then bragged
dominated.
About it the whole entire time about how he beat everybody.
Because I'm the best driver.
So that probably was like
the first sign that
something was going to go poorly. Sign number two was probably when he asked if he could bring somebody that wasn't part of my that wasn't even a groomsman in the wedding.
You said so that first of all, that's really common to invite people to the bachelor party that aren't
so
in the wedding.
Johnny invited his own friend to Matt's
no.
bachelor party.
That's
no,
exactly what happened.
No, don't act like he's my own friend. You're friends with him too.
I'm friends with him, but he wasn't.
I didn't invite him. You said you told him. You said he could go.
I contacted you and said, you know what, Johnny? Why don't you invite your friend?
I did not say, hey, can he go?
Then how did he get there?
He just knew.
You said he could go.
Well, either way.
I don't care that he was there or not there. I'm just saying that he was the only one in the whole group that did that.
Yeah, and he was loyal to Johnny. He was a loyal member of the Johnny faction.
And his defense, I only bring that up because what happens later, they both did together. Okay, it's not like it was just a Johnny thing.
He was there for Johnny, not Matthew.
So we go out and we get some beers. I think we toured a brewery or something.
Toured a brewery.
Like that.
We went to a fine establishment where ladies like to remove their clothes.
Yeah, we went to a fun story. We went to a gas station because I had to use the bathroom because I wasn't sure if the strip club would have one, and I had to use the women's restroom to
why would a strip club not have a bathroom?
I don't know. We were drunk. I don't know if I was thinking logically at the moment.
I was not. I was completely sober.
Scott was the sober one because he's snooty about that and he doesn't drink.
No, it's important for the story that we know that I was in charge of this and that I was the caretaker.
So don't act like you were the designated driver, like you were sacrificing something, like you wanted.
Oh no, I'm not sacrificing. What I'm saying is important for the story, from the story's perspective, to know that I was the caretaker.
Yeah, and long story short, I got too drunk. I thought it would be a good idea to go to
go back downtown
to where all the bars are at, countless bars.
This is like an hour's walk. By the way.
It was like a 20-minute walk.
Okay.
It was a very long walk.
It may have felt like 20 minutes.
Long story short, I thought we were, I guess in my drunken...
And why did you go downtown to the bars?
Because I thought in my drunken stupor we were all going back down there.
No, that's a complete lie. That you were pursuing.
Johnny
but
was
isn't
chasing...
That, isn't okay. that, aren't we all ultimately pursuing that same
no,
thing?
No, Johnny was specifically chasing...
Happiness? Pursuing happiness?
Yes. At its most fundamental core, I was pursuing happiness.
No, you were pursuing...
And by happiness, what he means is he was pursuing hooking up with his former fling's mother.
A cougar.
In other words, a cougar.
Yeah.
In my defense, she was pretty hot.
So Johnny all of a sudden is MIA. Like, we can't find him.
Vanishes. Doesn't tell anybody where he's going.
He's not answering a phone.
Takes his friend that he brought to the party with him. And vanishes. And so the clock... And Johnny's story ends at this point in time. I don't know what happened. But the clock keeps ticking and it's...
Nothing, now, honestly.
It's
like,
now 1 a.m. It's now 2 a.m. And none of us have seen Johnny for 2 hours at the establishment. Hold on. None of us have seen Johnny for 2 hours at the establishment that we're at. And it becomes time to head back home. You know, and it's about an hour's drive back home to where we were coming out of. And me being the sober caretaker began to realize that... something had happened to Jonathan, and that I didn't know what happened, and that he wouldn't answer his phone and wouldn't respond to
text. No, so I swear, my phone did not show any missed calls or any missed texts or anything, and I thought we were meeting back up in my drunken stupor, and honestly, nothing ever happened even at the bar, like nothing, like I didn't do anything wrong, like I just went there.
Well, I would argue that you did do something.
Well, I mean, you could definitely make that argument, but after that initial wrongdoing, after that, I didn't commit any more wrongdoing. I just was
not
there.
By choice, just because you couldn't.
No,
because you swung and missed.
No, that's not true. And I went, and I thought we were meeting back up, and I just was, and then obviously, as soon as I was the next morning when I woke up at my parents' house, I realized
how did you get there, by the way.
Kyle's girlfriend picked us up.
So your phone worked
and
then?
And she was not.
Yeah, the phone.
So your phone worked to call somebody to bring you home?
No. I don't even remember how that. I honestly don't really even remember.
But anyways, we at 2 a.m. left the establishment we were at and just left without Johnny. And I panicked for the rest of the night thinking that somehow under my watch, Johnny had been abducted. Or raped, or had like run off and eloped with one of the strippers, and I wasn't real happy with him. I'll say that, and I know that Matthew sure wasn't happy with him.
No, I was not concerned.
Some of the choice words that Matthew said at the time.
Concerned was not my thought, or anyone else's in that group besides Scott. There was a lot of very choice words and slangs, and terminology being used against Johnny on the way home from.
And that's fair. And you know what? I was young and I was dumb and I was full of cum. And
let's use
it's too late. We're not editing anything out, so it's too late.
I was
full of sexual
desire. I was and I made a bad decision, and the next morning when I came to and my head was hurting in between vomiting, I realized that I made a bad mistake.
And ultimately, he repaid me by forgetting my wedding ring the day that I got married.
But
I think really, in all honesty, Johnny goes down as the worst best man of all time.
Yes.
But I got you a bottle of Gentleman Jack.
Wow.
And the speech itself was, you know, that's how this all
You
started.
Gave me a B-plus at the time. You get
a B-plus, but it wasn't enough.
I was, after a night like that, I was really looking for like an A-plus. You know, it would have been really nice for you to have like
step up and
really
just give like a
up
rousing
and something
speech,
good. Yeah.
Like where everyone's like pumped up and like fist bumping. Yeah. And
like that was your chance to make up for it. And you went for a B.
We wanted a report card we could put on the fridge.
But look, the thing is though, that bachelor party was fun. Even if I wouldn't have done that, it was a fun night. We can all agree.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much for Scott because he was sober at a strip club, but we had a good time. But by me doing that, no matter how wrong it was, made it totally unforgettable. We'll remember that for the rest of our lives. Otherwise, if that wouldn't have done that, it would have just been lost to the pages of history, like tears in the rain.
Yeah, I would have never remembered my bachelor party if Johnny hadn't screwed it
you
up.
That's
definitely how that day would have gone.
You would vaguely remember.
Everybody else out there has forgotten their bachelor party.
You would vaguely remember it, but it wouldn't go down. You wouldn't remember every little detail about it. Am I right?
I mean, we can slightly agree to that. It made the night maybe slightly more memorable and gave it a fun story.
Therefore, you should apologize to me.
No.
Yeah.
We should really talk about maybe it's Scott's fault.
Yeah, Scott let me go.
No.
You were the sober one.
Scott paid for Matthew to have his last lap dance prior to hooking up with the old ball and chain. And he turned around and Johnny was gone.
I used
it as a ruse.
I don't know what happened that night. I just got a little carried away.
Just,
how old were we? 24?
23 maybe?
Was I still in college?
We were 24.
I think you guys were 24 and I was 23.
I think I was fresh out of college.
We were 24. So yeah, you were not in college, no. No. You were not in college when I got married.
In my defense, 24 is a pretty dumb age. For most people.
I mean, I'm not mad about it.
Well, I know, but...
Anymore.
I mean,
that was in the moment. But that's...
How long...
I'm not mad about it because this is rough idle.
Yeah, that's rough idle.
How long did it take for you to truly get over that?
I mean, not very long. I'm pretty forgiving of you. It's not like your whole entire life you haven't done dumb things like that. You've just kind of gotten used to it at this point that it's going to happen.
Well, you know.
It's what makes you you.
That's right.
And it's why we love you.
I make things memorable. Maybe not smooth or easy or anything like that, but I make them memorable, right?
Yeah.
Which symbolically, rough idol.
That's,
why do you remember...
I wish you would have made our senior trip memorable.
Oh, well, let's... Anyways, on to the next...
That's not a fair first
that's
episode topic.
That's not... Let's, anyways, on to the next topic. Yeah, so that's us. You know, we're just a bunch of miscreants that hate each other, but also love each other, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah. And so, we're just going to talk about random things that tickle our fancy. And if you decide to listen, you decide to listen. If you don't, you can kiss my ass and... You can go listen to stupid cereal and waste your life and get no answers on anything and just listen to some girl mumble into the microphone.
That's not. Don't you.
I'll badmouth
about Sarah Koenig like that.
I'll badmouth her
You're wrong on this one, no matter how you feel about it.
Sarah Koenig is the Walter Cronkite of this generation.
Walter Cronkite?
Isn't that his name? Cronkite?
Don't ask me.
Walter Cronkite? No. The songbird of our generation is Joe Rogan.
Well, Sarah Koenig's not a songbird. She's a
podcast bird.
Can I make a confession?
She's the pod bird of our
generation. Never listened to the Joe Rogan podcast before.
Don't.
He's okay. He's just kind of a yes man to everybody. So he could have some guy come out and tell him that dinosaurs are still alive and that we've been abducted by aliens and all this stuff. And he'd be like, yeah, man, that's pretty cool. While he hits a joint. But... It depends on his guest. Some of his guests is like kind of entertaining. I mean, I don't listen to him regularly. Like every night, like once in a blue moon, I'll listen to him if he's got like somebody interesting on, like Steven Tyler. Like he did one that was kind of interesting, and then
didn't Elon Musk like smoke weed on there or something?
Yeah, Elon Musk hit a joint, and then like
that's why he got like removed as chairman.
We were in the Tesla store today.
We were.
Do you think we would have gotten in trouble if we would hit a joint in there?
Yes. Yeah.
That seems like a little bit of a double standard.
Well, I think that we still have to abide by the local law.
Where he was, it was legal.
I don't think Elon gets to like absolve all criminal activity within Tesla dealerships just because he personally partakes in that somewhere where it's legal.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you buy a Tesla?
Whenever people ask questions about like that, of like would I do this or would I do that, it's tough. I can imagine a reality in which I would buy a Tesla. Do I foresee that that'll ever happen in my life? No, but I could imagine some sort of alternate life where I would. You know, if I had more money, and I, you know, didn't really know a lot about cars and was relying on like everybody else to tell me what was wrong with my car or what to do with my car, and I like had a lot of solar power or something where like, I mean, I do have 100% renewable energy where I live, but
braggadocio,
just throwing that in there, but you know, I could foresee a situation where if I was already planning on buying a $50,000 car, and all I wanted was like a stress-free experience where I didn't have to fill up or get oil changes or like, I don't, you know, like they handled everything for me and there were mobile mechanics and I was already that kind of wealthy and hands off, then like, yeah, sure.
But
I'm never going to do that, right? Like I'll probably never spend more than 20 grand on a car.
So, but you'll be making full doctor salary soon.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I would choose to spend that much money on a car.
But what if it was a mint condition Honda Prelude?
So my girlfriend always talks about hall passes, and we each have hall passes. You know, we have 5 hall passes of people that we would be allowed to cheat on the other person with. You know, hers are like Ryan Reynolds and Halle Berry and stuff like that. You know,
Halle Berry.
Yeah, that's one of her hall passes.
Okay, I learned something today.
I don't know. You know, like. you know, if we were talking about like finance hall passes, then a mint Honda Prelude is an automatic hall pass for me. Like I whatever decision I make to obtain a Honda Prelude, whatever sort of shady decision it is, it's made okay by the fact that I obtained a mint Honda Prelude.
Why don't you import a Honda Prelude?
Well, they're not the ones that. So the one that I would want would be the final generation of the Honda Prelude, which hasn't reached the 25-year-old mark yet.
When did those start? 96.
I think they started. What was mine? Mine was a
97.
Mine,
right?
Was a 98, actually.
Oh, it was.
So I mean, we're getting close, but we're not there yet. But yeah, in the future, I would totally consider it.
Johnny, would you buy a Tesla?
Also, what would your financial hall pass be?
Well,
answer both questions.
Okay, so I would buy a Tesla in a certain scenario, not some alternate reality thing like mumbo jumbo that Scott was talking about, because we could always just say like in an alternate reality I would have 6.
Well, it's the same thing. That's all I'm saying is in a different scenario, but there is no different scenario.
But
right now you
in
only
this,
have the scenario
if I hit the
power in. So any alternate scenario is an alternate reality.
If I hit the Powerball, I would buy a Tesla, no problem. If I start making 6 figs and I have tons of disposable income.
I don't think 6 figs come with as much disposable income as you think.
Well, I mean, it depends on how much 6 figs we're talking.
I mean, you're talking anywhere from $100,000 all the way up to $999,000.
Well, let's say if I'm making $200,000 a year, I would probably buy one. Because they are kind of like a cool technological thing. But I don't know. I'm not sure like one would ever truly tickle me in that way. But I don't know. I think they're cool. I mean, they're pretty amazing that they've come this far. You know, you think like how many other car companies have like gone under since like the, you know, since the creation of car companies, really, you know? Like, and the fact that they've come this far and they're actually, like, legitimately, like, mass-produced and, like, sold, like, all over the world, essentially. Dang it, Matt.
Sorry.
And they're, like, sold all over the world, essentially. Like, it's pretty amazing when you really think about it. And they do 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. And they get really, you know, really extraordinary range.
I don't think anybody...
Compared to most other electric cars.
I think you'd have to really struggle to find somebody who genuinely was involved with the car community that isn't impressed by Tesla's, like, engineering and...
Yeah.
Like, business success. Like, nobody... Yeah. I don't... When people call them bad cars, like, they're never referring to, like...
The overall...
That it's a... Yeah, that it's... they're referring like, more often, I think, to, like, the build quality.
Yeah.
And that kind
of
thing. Not
because they have had lots of issues with that, but...
So I think most people would agree with you and, like, really respect the technology that goes into it and the innovation and all of that.
I mean, they're doing things that major car companies haven't even started to, like, develop the DNR on, and they already have, like... R&D. Dang it, the R&D.
The DR.
And they're not in,
down
like...
Down there in the DR.
Major car companies haven't even started it.
Do they sell Teslas in the DR?
In the Democratic Republic of the Congo?
The Dominican Republic.
Oh, the Dominican.
But the Democratic Republic of the Congo, too, right?
I'm sure you could probably order one if you really want it.
If you're wealthy enough, you can probably get it.
Yeah, you can get anything if you want it enough.
I wonder if they have the...
the infrastructure for...
the electrical infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're quite there yet.
I'm sure somebody has power there.
Oh, no, tons of people have power, but I just mean, like, I don't think that...
Do you think...
Like, solar power and...
Well, you don't have to have solar power to charge your Tesla.
No, that's not... But it makes more sense from an environmental perspective.
Why not nuclear?
Okay, well, that brings up a bigger question. Do you think most people are buying Teslas because it's good for the environment?
No.
Because I don't think they are.
I think they're buying them because they're like a cool, trendy status symbol.
Yeah, people buy them because they're a cool car that no one else has. I don't think it has anything... I don't think Tesla even, like... That, like, their marketing, I don't think, is even about being like, environmentally friendly. I think it's more about just offering something that no other car company can offer.
Well, Elon Musk has been pretty, like, outspoken about, like, basically Teslas are saving the world.
I think...
Like, he's, like, actually said that.
I think it's a healthy mixture of... People like, you know, Tesla right now is pretty reminiscent of Apple in the early iPhone days, you know, where it is the cool thing to have. It's a household name. Everybody knows about it. But I also think, you know, it's the same way with Jaguar and Porsche. You know, those are still cool cars to have, too. But I think when people make the choice to buy a $90,000 Tesla Model S, part of the reason that they're choosing that over... I mean, part of it is, like, they want the self-driving mode and they want the, like, you know, all of that. But I think there are a lot of people who look at it and say, if I'm going to pay that much money, I may as well get a car that's better for the environment. Like, I wouldn't say it's the primary reason. I'm not saying they don't make the first decision of, oh, I want to get a car better for the environment. And then when looking around, they get a Tesla. But
if your number one reason to buy a car is to save the environment, then you buy a Prius.
Yes,
or you know,
saying,
a plug-in,
like,
hybrid. You don't buy
shopping,
a Tesla.
If you're shopping in that, like, well, for us in our price range, sure. But if you're shopping in the $100,000 price range, and you're looking at a bunch of cars, and you're like a person who has that kind of money, and let's say you're like, you are a doctor, and like you do care about science and theoretically the environment and stuff. Like, it could definitely be a pro, like a check in the pro column that it is better for the environment. I'm not saying that's like their main reason to buy a Tesla, but
in the back of your mind, you can always say
it. I certainly think it's something that factors in, right?
When you go to justify the price, in the back of your mind, you can always, part of the justification is I'm saving the environment.
Yeah, or like if you're comparing $100,000 cars and one of them is better for the environment than the other and is also faster and also has self-driving, like...
That's fair.
You know, I think that's how the decision gets made.
Yeah, but...
So would you buy one? I don't think you've ever answered.
Yeah, no, I said I would buy one if I had the money, and... But if I had the money for one $100,000 car...
So what's your financial hall pass then? We'll move on to that then.
I mean, obviously it has to be something somewhat realistic. Your financial hall pass can't be like... A $500,000. That's not remotely.
It has to be a legitimate thing you could buy tomorrow if it popped up.
And probably and nobody gets to ask questions in your life or say, Johnny, that was a bad decision.
Probably another Moto Guzzi V11 Sport.
But I send you those all of the time, and you still don't. You're not interested. There's one 5 hours from where you live right now for a really good price and really good shape, and you aren't interested.
No, I am extremely interested. The problem is that, like, I know that that's not a smart investment right now.
That's good. It's an irresponsible decision right now.
Well,
maybe you shouldn't do it. Right. Then.
According maybe you shouldn't do it. But I'm not saying don't do it. You just maybe you shouldn't.
According to you, everything is irresponsible. Well, living is irresponsible.
Living is irresponsible. Bringing life into the world is irresponsible.
Is it irresponsible for animals to be living?
Probably, yeah.
So all life is irresponsible?
I would say that creating life is beautiful, but also irresponsible when you think about it in a way, because that life then has to die. And you don't give it a choice of whether it wants to exist or not. You like bring something into the world and say, hey, sorry, I wanted you here, and you're going to have to suffer and die, but it's because I wanted you here.
Who says they have to suffer?
What? Well, also, who says that dying is inherently bad?
Well, I didn't say it's bad. I just said they have to suffer. But who says...
Well, suffering would imply that it's bad, Scott.
Well, no, I'm not saying the dying and the suffering could be separate. Like, life has suffering in it. And it comes... It's good. There's good and there's bad. But we just assume that everybody wants...
But at least you got to live it.
And if you didn't, you wouldn't know otherwise.
Anyway.
Financial hall pass.
I don't want to go down that road with Scott because it's never ending. Matt, what about you? What say you? Tesla, would, yes, no, maybe.
Would I buy a Tesla? The immediate answer is definitely a big no. I do, at least in the current environment that Teslas are made. I don't think that electric cars are ready yet for people like me. I think there's reasons to have one, but I think for a common person like me, I'm not buying a Tesla because it's not a second car for me. It's not something that I can transport a family in on a road trip to the beach. You know, it's not something that you ask me. I'm not saying that people shouldn't buy them. I'm saying that I wouldn't buy one. And I think that saving the environment is a good reason to buy a car. And for me, in my situation, if I wanted to do that, then I would buy something like a plug-in hybrid or a Prius that basically gets me two cars in one.
Let me ask you this, Matthew. Let me ask you this. What? Yeah, and I totally agree with you. Like, you can't. I think. Currently buying, you know, Tesla's trying to change it with like, you know, the range that their models have and where they put their charging stations and stuff. And maybe at some point we get to that. But I think I agree with you, you know, at this point in time right now, it's very difficult to live with a purely electric car as your only car. But what I think it's kind of a strange American thing sometimes where we forget that there are options to have access to other cars when we need them other than having to buy them. So, like, what's stopping you from having a Nissan Leaf as your only car, and when you want to take road trips, you rent an SUV for 3 days?
Because the Nissan Leaf is a financial investment to buy the Nissan Leaf. And then on top of that, I still have to make more financial investment when I need another car. Like, renting a car is not very cheap.
It's pretty cheap, $30 a day.
Plus mileage, plus gas.
Yeah, well, you don't pay for the mileage normally, but you do pay for the gas. Well, you know, if you're saving if you're not paying for gas ever in your electric car and you're saving a lot of money on like charging and all of that thing, you probably comes out as being no different. I mean, I don't know. I haven't done the numbers, obviously. Yeah. But I'd say it's something to think about, right? Like, I mean, it's totally possible that you could 99% of the days of the year, a Nissan Leaf does you just fine.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm saying is the point of that is I can buy a plug-in hybrid and not have to worry about that. Like, I can solve that problem by buying a car that just does both. And I think one day, like, let's say a Tesla, theoretically, if it gets 1,000 miles range and you can get to 80% charge in 30 minutes, then that, like, that range anxiety goes away because you're going to have to stop and eat lunch or dinner on the way on your road trip anyways, and you can charge it while you're eating.
Yeah.
So I think once the technology gets there, it makes sense. Just for a common person like me, that doesn't have 3 or 4 car garages, then, you know, it doesn't work for me.
But if you don't buy one, the technology's never going to get there.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, it is.
Then how did it get... I mean, people are buying it now and the technology's getting there.
I think it's somewhat true, but not entirely true.
People are going to buy them because they are. It doesn't have to be me. People are buying them.
I think you could get... It's just like what you're willing to put up with as far as like a car being a pain in the ass. You can definitely drive a Leaf to Gatlinburg, no problem. It's just that
it's going
to
take me.
It's going to be kind of a pain in the ass to get there. Yeah. Like, you know, you could do whatever you wanted. I mean, we pretty much have, I mean, maybe if you're going through like, I don't know, like Wyoming somewhere, like you might, yeah, it might be kind of tough to find like a charging station on, you know, there, but like for the most part, you know, we're on the east of the Mississippi. Like I don't, you know, you could take them just about anywhere.
Also like where I live, unlike Scott who gets renewable energy, like if I buy a Tesla, I'm charging it with coal fire plants, yeah, and
no, that's,
it's not clean energy I'm charging it with anyway. So the offset about saving the environment's really not, like I would be, I'd probably save the environment more if I drove a hybrid than I would getting all the power for it from coal fire plants.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's, I mean, something to think about, yeah, you know, that's why I brought that up in the first place. Like, yeah. I think.
So that even that like incentive isn't there for me because I'm not saving the environment by buying one.
But I think it's just something to keep in mind as we move down the road, 10, 20 years, that I don't know if I ever imagine a future, like a true future in the U.S. where like people are using an electric car, only an electric car, always an electric car. But I do think you may see a lot more homes go to electric cars as like a primary car, and then they can branch out if they need to something else.
Are we 100% sure that electric is the future?
No, I mean, I think you could convince me that hydrogen cars are the future, but
I think it's weird how we've all, like, everyone's kind of, like, starting to sell out in terms of
electric. Well, I think it's because electricity is getting easier to produce in cleaner ways. In renewable ways, which makes it an incentive to, and we already have the technology to make, I mean, hydrogen cars have been tried. What Toyota made the,
I mean, they exist. I mean, the Honda has the,
don't they still sell one in California?
Yeah,
or
Honda
something?
Sells, I don't know if they do today, but I know it's very recently, at least, if not now.
The Insight?
Yeah, isn't it like the safety concerns? I mean, you basically have a hydrogen fuel cell traveling in your car. I mean,
it's no different than having gasoline in your car. The problem is, like, people see the Hindenburg disaster and they think that's what's going to happen if they get rear-ended. It's not a Ford Pinto. Like, it doesn't just explode. Like,
I don't know if that's, I'm sure there are other more complex reasons. We haven't, let me just say, this is not a topic we have done our research on.
Well, the issue is that it's hard to get the compressed hydrogen down to like a small size. So basically, like, I think currently, if I'm not mistaken, like the Honda Insight has like a giant sphere in its trunk that where it has to like convert the hydrogen into like a liquid form or something and to make it to where the engine can use it. And so it's like not like, so it takes up a ton of space within the car and like you're basically like wasting like a ton of space.
Yeah.
Whereas like electricity, you know, I will say like, you know, your battery, just basically, you know, make the floor pan a giant battery and all of a sudden you got tons of extra space. Like if you look at the Teslas, they got tons, like that Model X we looked at today had tons of room.
Yeah.
And then like the Rivians, the new trucks and stuff like that coming out, like those have all kinds of crazy amounts of space. And,
yeah.
Like,
well, okay. So like the biggest thing.
So this article that I just looked up on the internet from greencarreports.com.
Is that legitimate?
I don't know. But it says the problem is that the amount of energy needed to prepare the like ancillary energy is needed. Because sort of what you're describing, but not with space, just with the fact that preparing this reaction to happen requires a certain amount of energy. That at the end of the day, it's hydrogen vehicles are less efficient than electric vehicles, so they actually use more energy. It's just the energy is coming from the hydrogen than electricity. But if you're using electricity that's 100% renewable, you're actually using less electricity in an electric car than in a hydrogen car. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But is that because of the current technology, or is that will always be that way?
Let me continue to read. I'll get back to you in a
second. Okay, so let me kind of like talk about electric cars again. When you look at like infrastructure, the infrastructure is already built for electric vehicles because it's our homes. Like when you think about hydrogen, you're talking about hydrogen fueling stations that had to be built all across America to be able to fuel your car up and travel anywhere. But like I can charge my electric car at my house. But, like, the infrastructure is already there. I mean, right now, unless you live in an apartment complex or a house that you don't have access to being able to charge something, everyone that's a homeowner right now could transition to an electric car, and the infrastructure is already built and ready for it. But you can't say that about hydrogen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I just,
like, my home is theoretically my gas station.
I'm just saying, like, I think I just wondered, like, if hypothetically, if there's, like, some big advancement in, like, the hydrogen process,
Like, would that be a better source?
I mean, I think electric. I think electric is a feature of cars. I don't see it going any other way.
It's a more conventional source, right? So it fits in our notion of what owning and operating a car means more readily than electric cars, right? So it's much more similar to gasoline. You like refill on hydrogen. It runs. It has a tank. It gets empty. It, you know, all of those things. But it, I'm not sure it's still better. You know, like if you're using. And I think really when I'm thinking about electric cars, I'm still thinking sort of 10 years into the future, where I'm thinking in a setting where like energy use is 100% renewable, because we're moving that direction. Like we're continuing to move that direction. And so if all of the energy for your home is coming from solar power, wind, or like a dam or wherever you live, you know, whatever it is, and it's renewable, then you're operating that car for free. Like it has the lowest carbon footprint available of any like type of car that currently exists. It uses the least amount of energy, and the energy that it uses is 100% renewable. So there's no reason not to use it unless you like are insistent on having to drive a stick, which all of us are. But
yes. Like,
but otherwise there's like no, it's more powerful. It has a lower center of gravity. It can be made to handle, you know, just as well, if not better. It lacks the noise.
They catch on fire.
They can.
I mean, all cars catch on fire. It's not a very great argument.
They
catch on fire less often than other cars probably catch on fire.
They have more storage space.
You have to build huge strip mines in Australia.
I would say that electrical cars are superior to gasoline-powered cars in every way but two. Number one, the sound.
Yes.
And the fact that, like there's just, you know, for somebody that's into cars, there's just nothing better than listening to the sound than, like, a good exhaust note makes, you know?
Yeah, yes.
But that's area number one. And then area number two would be, like, the differing character between, like, electric cars. And I'm sure that you can make some variants, but at the end of the day, they're all going to feel similar, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going to get the differences in size and displacement and layout of the engine and driving characteristics and turbocharged versus naturally aspirated and, you know, all of that. All of that goes away and you get fuel, you know, like electrical cells and...
You get cars that all feel the same but with varying amounts of power
and handling.
That'll feel exactly. It's like, I'm sure, I've never driven a Nissan Leaf, but I'm sure it probably doesn't feel all that different from like the cheapest Tesla.
Is there any reason that you can't, this may be a dumb question, is there any reason that you can't put a manual transmission in an electric car?
Yes, because an electric car can't stall. Like, so there's no point in having a clutch, it can't stall.
I mean, is there any reason I can't shift an electric engine is what I'm asking.
You can create power delivery, like software.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean.
Power
yeah.
delivery that like replicates the feeling of shifting if you wanted to. But there's...
I think it's less efficient to put a big transmission, because the transmission's on, they're only like two speeds, I think.
Well, I think the future...
I guess what I'm asking is, why can't I just take...
I think the future is in essentially software that adjusts your power delivery to make it feel as if you're changing gears, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. I mean, like an engineered, like where it's faking it.
Instead of having that straight linear power band, you know, power, like...
I guess what I mean is, why can't I just put a manual transmission in there and just like an electric engine, I mean, a gas engine, when it's at 9,000 RPM, it's delivering all of its power and I shift into the next one and that makes me go faster. Like, why can't I put it in first gear? The electric engine spools up as fast as it go and I'm going 30 miles an hour, right? And then I put it into second gear, and the electric engine spools as fast as it can, and I'm going 80 miles an hour, just like a gas engine.
There's no engine speed.
So you only shift the transmission. It would be like the engine speed.
It would be artificially slowing the car.
I'm not saying it would be faster. I'm just saying to get that feel. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it would get the feel back.
I mean, I'm sure that there's an engineering way to make it. To make it happen, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Plus,
we're going to Google this too.
To actually,
because you can put them in a hybrid.
To be able to fit a transmission in an electric car, you would also like greatly sacrifice. You know,
well, it's a sports car. Well, it's not like it's battery.
Like, where do you put it?
Yeah, where do you put the batteries?
Well, I mean, the way it's built now, there's nowhere. But you could build a car to fit it. I'm just asking theoretical questions.
Road and Track says, in reality, there's no logical reason for a clutch to exist in an electric car, but on an emotional level, it is possible to have an electric car with a traditional manual.
Yeah, that's all that I'm asking. I'm not saying it's a better reason. I'm just asking if it's possible.
It's possible, but it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Unless the reason starts making like electric vehicles that you can pay an extra $10,000 for with a manual transmission.
I don't think they even sell gas cars with a manual transmission now.
Yeah, but I could see a future like one day where like manual transmissions become like the ultimate luxury that like some people.
Yeah, I mean it's already going that way. So I don't know. That was a
can I pause and just real quick in like 30 seconds say my financial hall pass.
Yeah, so what's your financial hall pass and sexual
hall financial pass. Hall pass would be an FB RX-7. Like mint, single rotor, carbureted, good shape. That's my dream.
That's the lamest thing I've ever
Because it's a rotary.
I think that's valid.
Now, what's your sexual hall pass?
Oh, I don't think we did sexual hall passes.
Well, I know, but
No, we're not doing that.
Matthew has a wife. He doesn't have any sexual hall passes.
My wife is my sexual hall pass.
Oh, well, good answer.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know, but I would say that was a pretty decent first episode. What say you, chaps?
It was good. I feel good about it.
I mean, I enjoyed talking. I don't know.
Do you think anybody...
If you're still listening, then thank you so much.
Do you think anybody's still listening 56 minutes in?
Our significant others maybe have at least let it play in the background at this point.
Yeah. Maybe I can like set it up on my work computer and just play it in the background and give us like artificial views.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's been our first episode of Rough Idol. Sorry, I guess we might have bored you a little bit, but that's what you should expect. We're going to bore you and we're going to do stuff and we're going to talk about what we want to talk about. And if you want to email us and tell us what to talk about, feel free at www.roughidol.gov.org. @gmail.com.
Why do you keep asking people to talk to us in emails when we don't have... Like,
we don't even have an email account.
Just don't talk to us.
What if they give us money? You can talk to us if you give us money. How about that? So find a way to contact us at myspace.com and give us money and we'll answer any question you have. And Scott will answer it, especially if it's a medical question. But that was the first episode and... maybe we'll do it again, but most likely this is probably the only episode we ever sit down and actually record. Hopefully this microphone worked and we weren't just talking to ourselves like we were last night.
Adios.
Adios.
Bye.